Look, y'all done heard a sermon from Brother Tommy and through the song Jennifer sang. So today is the day of salvation. If you need the Lord and stuff, this altar, you don't have to wait to the end of the service.
Amen.
And stuff, if you need Jesus right now, you come up here.
Amen.
And so we got plenty of preachers and deacons. We got some people in here that can help you out.
Amen.
So don't let the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
you don't hold back from what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do.
Amen.
Let me put that out there right now. So me and Daryl, we didn't coordinate. The only thing we coordinated was a scripture I was going to use today. Victory in Jesus. He stole my introduction. We're victorious because of Jesus, what he done on the cross for us. So we need to live victoriously. That means also joyfully. Put a smile on your face. And that being said, we can do something a little different. All I want you to do, just real quick, stand up and say hi to your neighbor. Shake his hand, her hand. Be happy that you're here today. We're going to talk a little bit. I just said victorious. That's not the message today. But I had to throw that out there. So if you would, if you want to turn to 1 John to give you some scripture, 5:13. And put a bookmarker in 1 John. There's some other scripture we're going to use throughout this message in 1 John. 1 John 5:13, that's going to be our first verse we're going to discuss in a minute when I get to it. But the message is going to come from 1 John, different chapters, but that's the first one. How can I be sure of my salvation? And I know, because I fit that category, that some of us has had doubt before. You ever had doubt for your salvation? So we're going to try to cover that. And before I say that, so when I found out I was going to come up here and give a sermon, I've been planning a sermon for a long time. Had it almost memorized. Then God said, "Hey, what you doing?" So I had to regroup, go back and rewrite something else, study something else. Got that done. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he woke me up and said, "Hey, you ain't doing that either." I said, "Okay." And I cried on Tommy's shoulder and said, "I can't sleep. I can't function hardly because he keeps waking me up." He said, "Let it work through you. Just let it work. Let it work through you." So evidently, what I'm going to talk about today is going to be what God wants.
Amen.
And stuff. And maybe he'll let me sleep tonight. Lord willing.
Amen.
But in doing this, though, maybe at some point, maybe I can get back to my other stuff. But today, we're going to talk about how can I be sure of my salvation and how we deal with doubt. And so let me throw some disclaimers out there real fast. There's two groups of people. There's the lost and there's the saved. Okay? You fit one of those categories. And somehow, I don't know how God's going to do this yet with this, but he's going to tie the two in together. We're going to talk about salvation, but also there's a message for the ones that need salvation, that need Christ, and why we need Christ. And we get into that. So our 1 John 5:13, write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that's Jesus, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know you have eternal life. So let's pray and we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day. Just thank you for this opportunity to spread your word and get your word out, Lord. Just thank you for the many blessings you've done for us. And just be with us as we receive the message you want us to get today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So while I was trying to put this together at 2 o'clock in the morning and stuff, we got the saved and the unsaved. And this verse here, if you're saved, you got to believe in that. So we got to have faith. So I'm just going to throw some definitions out there real quick. Faith, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, you don't have to look it up. I'm just going to tell you. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance what we do not see. Okay? And then doubt, let me give you the definition of doubt. Definition of doubt is a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. So we need to put those, so I'm speaking to the lost right now. If you got doubt, or why are we even talking about this? So we got to, so this is where faith kicks in. We got to believe in what we don't see, but what we hear about when we spread the word. And Christ hanging on that cross for us. God loves each and every one of us, the lost and the saved. And he sent his son down on that cross for us. And, like always, I get to throw my favorite scripture in here real quick. John 14:6. If you've been around me long enough, you know. So, this is no clearer of a scripture than there is in the Bible to me. Is I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, I'm pointing to the cross, except through me. Amen. We got to have Jesus Christ, period. Amen. Bottom line. And so to get to God, we got to have him. And we need to etch that in our brains and remember that we got to. And so it's all about Jesus. Every bit of it is all about Jesus. Then we can get into breaking down John 14:6, and we might do that one day. What's the way? What's the truth? I'll just tell you the short answer is Jesus. Amen. And stuff. And Jesus himself said that about himself. It's me. You ain't coming through the Father. That's the bridge we need to, the gap between us. Amen. We got to have it. So we accept Christ. We went through that. We did that, right? We're Christians and stuff. Sometimes the devil's going to come in. He's going to throw some attacks out there. We have to be ready for that. And we're not going to get into details on that. But that's when doubt eases in our mind. Am I really a Christian? So let me just talk about some things that help us remind that we are Christians. There's five things I'm going to discuss, topics, those of you that take notes. And I try, look, so if you don't know me, if you went to Bible study, I always said God raises rabbits in heaven, because I go down rabbit trails all the time. He puts something else on my mind, and I vary from it. So I'm trying to make the transition from a Bible study to preaching, which is as foreign to me. I'm not used to this atmosphere, right? So I'm trying not to give you a Bible study. I'm just trying to give you a sermon. Let's see how it works. So there's five things, though, we are going to discuss. I call them birthmarks of being a Christian. So, and this is how you confirm if you have it. 1 John 5:1 tells us everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. That's the birthmark of confession. The first thing you got to do, at some point, if you're a Christian, at some point in your life, you confess to God. You confess your sins, and you got that birthmark of confession. So when you're struggling, when you got doubt, reach back in your memory bank, however long ago it was, and so that you confess. I'm going to get to a scripture that all y'all know. I'm assuming that a lot of y'all know, and your birthmark and confession, Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. If you did that, guess what you are? You're saved. Okay. I take things as face value when I read things like John 14:6. There's no, we got bad habits of, but what if this, but what if that. It don't say that. It says, if you confess with your mouth, let me make sure I don't misquote it, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then back to John 5:1, what I read right before that. It says, everyone, that's everybody, who believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you confess, you are a Christian. That's your birthmark or confession, we're going to call it. And so if you got that birthmark, what are birthmarks? You carry it with you all your life. Right? So the rest of your natural life, you got the birthmark or confession. To the lost, I'm trying to, you know, trying to bridge that gap to the lost out there. Not just y'all, but I know there's Facebook, whoever's watching this and stuff. That's how you get unlost, lack of better words. I like using words that not good English, but that's fine. Get unlost by doing what the scripture just said to do. Confess with your mouth, God is Lord. So you do that. You did your confession. Guess what? It ain't over with yet. Amen. You got to keep on moving on. You got to keep on moving on. So now we got the birthmark of change. Now think about that a minute. Nobody likes change that I know of, right? We're resistant to it. So you got the birthmark of change. What's that mean? What are you changing? You're getting rid of your old life. You transition to the new life. Amen. And stuff. And things are going to be different. If you did the first one, if you did the confession part, you got that birthmark, you're going to have the birthmark of change. Now, I would like to say that I never messed up since then, right? We know that's not the case, and that ain't what we're talking about. We ain't talking about being perfect. We're talking about your life as a whole is changed. You're going to live the way that God wants you to live and line up with Him. I told y'all hang in the 1 John. I'm bouncing all around 1 John, but on the birthmark of change, 1 John 2:29. If you know, put emphasis on that, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. You should be able, I say this all the time in Sunday school and Bible study and stuff, I should not have to tell you I'm a Christian. You should know I'm a Christian by the way I carry myself, the way I live my life. Not a perfect life, but you should know by the change that was in my life and the way I carry myself and do and stuff. And we're going to get into the end. I'm going to get into what, as Christian folks, we call ourselves Christians, what we should not do to other people. And I'm going to, we get there, getting ahead of myself. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old is gone. The new is here. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I put an emphasis on the very last statement of it. The new is here. Right. It's here. You got it.
Born again.
You got a change in your life. Mm-hmm. It's new again. And we should be excited. We should be good and victorious. We're victorious. Amen. We're leaving here, and if you want to even call it that, we're transitioning from here to eternal life. We're living in the eternal right now. You're a Christian. You got Jesus on your side, like I like to say. You're good. You don't have to worry about none of this other stuff.
Amen.
And so we let it bother us. We let it get it down. But we need to turn to Jesus. That's all we got to do. Just turn to Jesus. The next birthmark, that's two of them. So we got the birthmark of confession, change. All right, guys, men, if you like, well, I consider myself a manly man, but anyway, we'll see. The birthmark of compassion.
Come on.
Now, I don't know who struggles with that, but if you're a Christian, it's going to be there. You're going to have compassion. And I'll tell you what we're talking about on compassion and stuff. Not tolerance.
Come on, they're different.
Compassion instead of. So 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, see how John starts out? Oh, yeah, by the way, rabbit trail here. So, you know, there's the book of John, Big John, I heard before. Then you got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. That's the little Johns. Now, I don't know what they call Revelation, but John wrote it too. So, I can get on another story about Johns, but we ain't. We're going to stop right there. Dear friends, he starts it out. So he's showing compassion right off the bat. Dear friends, he considering who he's talking to. He's writing to the church. Dear friends. So first of all, and we all know we got those people that's hard to call friend, but they are. They're friends. Okay? So dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And a popular scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So he set the benchmark, so to speak, of love. And John is coming back and talking about being compassionate and love. Through love, that's how you, by the way, it don't come natural. But you got to have love first. You know, and there's, you know, and I'm talking about God love, that big word they use, agape love and stuff. I'm talking about love for each other, care for each other. If something happens to Buddy, I'm compassionate for him, and I want to pray for him, help him, do what I can to help him. That's the kind of love, that's for everybody, not just the ones we like to hang around. That's for everybody. And I'm trying to say, we had a men's breakfast yesterday, just give you an example. I don't think he's not in here. So I can talk about him. He talking about compassion, and he drove down the road, and he seen somebody with a flat tire. He was busy, had something going. He said he drove right on past that person. An hour later, as he's driving, he blew his transmission. Coincidence? I don't know. You can call it what you want to call it. And stuff, and he said that he knew he should have stopped and helped this person. That's compassion. And I'm not condemning him. He'll tell you, hey, I slipped up and prayed and moved on. So that's what we're talking about. We're going to slip. We're going to mess up a little bit. But we're not going to continuously live in that lifestyle of messing up. That's what we're shooting for. So, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. The next birthmark, and this is one that affects everybody. Well, they all do, but this one, the birthmark of conflict. Who do you think conflict? Where does that come from? Satan. The closer you get to God, the more you better be prepared that it's coming. Not when, if. I mean, not if, when. I'm dyslexic, so I flip my word. So it's going to happen. So be prepared for it. And if you want to learn how to defend that, come to the Bible study. We're talking about that right now. That's next month. So so focus on that it's going to happen. And God provided, you know, a way for us. He's going to protect us, take care of us. 1 John 5:4 says, I can encompass this with that word victorious. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. So, y'all heard me say it. Typically, you got to win a bunch of battles to win the war.
Amen.
You know, and when we fight or whatever. That's not the case here. We won the war. The war's won. It is done. Jesus did it right there on that cross for us. Right there on that cross. We're victorious.
Amen.
And it's going to, we don't need, it's easier said than done. We don't need to worry about the little battles that's coming. Because we know, and he told us it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
So don't be shocked
when
it does happen. Mm-hmm. Be prepared, though.
Amen.
And how you be prepared? You stay in his word.
Amen.
Jennifer's song, One Day at a Time. I love that song. It's one of my favorites. And don't worry about tomorrow. Because you don't, like the song said, you don't know if you're going to be here or not, first of all. And so one day at a time, and that each day you draw as close to God as you can possibly get.
Amen.
Through prayer, Amen. Through reading the scripture, being compassionate
Amen.
To somebody, pick up a phone and call them somebody.
That's right.
That can do worlds of good.
Amen.
And the thing is, it's not that hard. You think about it. Ain't that hard? Our problem is we got these busy schedules, itineraries that we like to go by, and it's hard to squeeze in a little extra time to be that compassionate person. But when conflict happens, just be ready. You know, just, he got it. Just give it to God. Give it to Jesus. He has it. Now, here's the big one. This is the last one on the birthmarks. Conduct. Right. So, conduct. 1 John 3:9 tells us, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. So let me tell you, when you mess up, make a little, you slip, and you got that little conviction hitting you inside. Say, I shouldn't have done that, right?
Come on.
That's, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you, hey, Amen. Hey, get back in line, listen to it, and stuff. Step back over here.
Amen.
You kind of, you went to the right or left, wherever you went. So the key is, don't continue to stay in sin.
Amen.
Intentionally go into sin. Continue to sin. Whatever that may be. And that covers a lot of areas. Keep on moving on.
Amen.
Pick up yourself and go on.
Right.
That old song says, got knocked down to the floor, but I got up and came for more.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on coming.
Amen.
Don't stay there. Then my last scripture, 1 John 5:18 on conduct is, we know, look at Daryl, he's fast. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. Jesus did it all, every bit of it, victorious, he did it. And thank God, literally, that he sent his son to hang on the cross for us. And then that we can have these birthmarks of being a Christian and stuff. And we know that we can fight our battles. Even though the war's already won, we still got to fight a few battles before he comes while we're waiting. And by the way, what are you doing? That's, you know, that you are pointing back to me, right? So I'm not pointing anybody out. And I also don't want to get in trouble by going left or right and thinking I'm talking about one side or the other. So I'm trying to avoid that, so I'm trying to stay centered. But what are you doing to further God's kingdom? And so if you're a Christian, you claim to be a Christian, and what are you doing? God has called each and every one of us as a Christian, each and every one of us, to do something.
Amen.
Whatever that something may be, the Holy Spirit will get you there.
There you go.
Guide you. Put you where he wants you in that right moment. And like I told a witness in Sunday school, I got to witness somebody at a birthday party yesterday. Just by chance. And but you got to be ready. You got to be prepared.
Amen.
I missed some of them opportunities.
Come on.
And then I, you know, as soon as I didn't take the opportunity, then I regretted it, and I felt the Holy Spirit was working on me.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, so I had to get back on the track,
Amen.
Move on. And I'll stop right there before I get too far into it. So this is what I'm going to close with. Do not If you're lost right now, and you get, and then when you get saved, let me tell you what we are our own worst enemy. Do not dwell on your past. Do not do it. Move forward with God and focus on the good things that God's doing in your life and everybody else's. Do not get stuck. And it's easy to do. I've been there. And don't worry about what whoever thinks. Don't worry about it. And it's hard. I got it. It is. It's really hard. And I get back to the ones that need Christ. But right now, listen to this little story I got. Albert Einstein, this is how God works, right? I'm not a history person. I don't like school. I don't like all that stuff. But he put this in front of me. And this is what I think we got a bad habit of doing. So Albert Einstein had a chalkboard with a class. He wrote 9 times 1 = 9. 9 times 2 = 18. He goes all the nines. He gets to 9 times 10 = 91. The class erupts, laughs at him. Ha ha, you messed up. Type deal. Einstein is standing there waiting for all the commotion to come down. And then he turned it back and said, so he did this on purpose, if you don't know. He looked at the class and said, I did 9 things correct in a row. And y'all focus on the one thing that I messed up on. So what I'm trying to say, and I preach it to myself too. When I got this finally at 2 a.m, it hit me too. So do not focus on, as Christians, we need to be compassionate, that falls under that category, to one another, and don't care what that person, and I say don't care as don't hold it against them. If they confess and got it off their plate with God, it should be good enough for us too.
Amen.
Period. So new Christians or people that accept Christ, and even the rest of us, is don't dwell in the past. And Brother Tommy, what'd you say that as far as the east is from the west?
Oh, yeah.
God, he forgot it. That's a long ways.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know. So what I like to do, Daryl, if you play an invitation, if you need Jesus Christ in your life right now, we got a pastor right here. Here's the altar. It's going to be open. Or any other problems you may have or need to talk or confess or pray is open.